and Kroot. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Sliding into the 4 o'clock happy hour. And I'm happy that all of you have stuck around. And we're expecting a fine guest, Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera. Christine, the number is 844-967-2789. We've had a little trouble connecting. We hope to get there soon. But in the meantime, I got a little good news story, question mark. I'm not sure if we'd describe this as good news, Fancy Brian, but, you know, I got a little smirk from this one, so I'm going to share it with you in the audience. Russian ransomware gang claims to have hacked the NRA. The NRA! A little bit right here. A ransomware gang believed to have Russian connections claims it just popped the National Rifle Association. The ransomware gang, known as Grief Gang, good grief, the Grief Gang, posted files on its extortion site Wednesday that it claims to have stolen from the NRA in an apparent attempt to pressure the NRA to pay them a ransom demand. The file names suggest that the attackers, while targeting the NRA with ransomware, a malware meant to lock up victim computers until the victim pays a ransom, were able to steal files about national grants in minutes from an internal meeting. Oh, no. Here's a quick statement. I don't have any comment, according to NRA spokesperson Amy Hunter. Oh, that's a shame. The Good Grief Gang is hammered, or ransomware in this case, the NRA.
You know what? It couldn't have happened to a nicer and more well-deserving organization. Congratulations, NRA.
There's no good guy in that story.
No.
But somehow I feel like we're all winners.
Exactly.
You're all winners for listening to The Devil's Advocates. Now we are joined by the eagerly anticipated guest. She is Christine Newman Ortiz from the organization Voces de la Frontera. Christine, welcome back.
It's good to be here with you all again.
Well, it's so good to host you, Christine. And I understand you guys get a big action, so that's why we invited you. What's going on tomorrow at Senator Tammy Baldwin's office?
Voces de la Frontera is inviting people to join us to do a picket and a brief rally outside of her office because while she, you know, has definitely supported with a public statement immigration reform with a path to citizenship be included in the Build Back Better reconciliation budget. The question now to all Democrats, including President Biden and Vice President Harris, is, we're asking them to disregard the opinion of the parliamentarian, which is the Senate attorney, who has presented a biased opinion and has said that the money that had been allocated for immigration reform in this Build Back Better response to the pandemic be excluded. And the fact is that there is legal precedent as early as 1975, and it's definitely within their legal right to have the Vice President Harris say, I disagree with that opinion, and to keep the funding for citizenship for immigrant essential workers who've been at the front lines of this pandemic in that budget, and then the majority of Democrats to vote for it. There's $107 billion that so far has been allocated to create a path to citizenship. This was something that here in Wisconsin was, you know, a big reason why Latinos and immigrants turned out to vote for him and the Democrats. And it really was a second chance for the Democratic Party to deliver on a promise that had been made under the Obama administration and had failed to get passed even for Dreamers. And so this is really a moment where it's not getting as much coverage as it should, but across the country, there has been a lot of mobilizing, and you don't even hear like what's in, what's out. Well, immigration reform is in, and it really hasn't gotten the attention it deserves. Usually immigration is considered a hot button issue, but it's really been the movement that's gotten it in there and kept it in there so far. So right before the House vote on end of this month, Halloween, it's really probably the last action that we'll be doing before this very key vote.
Well, Christine, I have a couple questions. First and foremost, are we talking about Tammy's district office, Milwaukee, Madison, and above and beyond that, Tammy Baldwin, obviously a progressive ally to immigrants. Wouldn't this action be better placed at, let's say, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's office?
No. From the beginning, I mean, our voices, given what we saw in the wake of, before the elections, after the elections, and certainly after the elections, I would say, and after January 6th, an attempted coup, and where you've seen the Republican Party align itself, the leadership of the Republican Party, our congressional representatives here in Wisconsin, and that has been completely, it's been unconscionably aligned with far right white nationalist politics, and the party declaring itself the party of Trump. And what does that mean? The party of white nationalism, the party of authoritarianism. And we see that right now. I mean, basically you have a real concerted effort to undermine elections and so forth. So we never had one ounce of belief or energy in the direction of any kind of bipartisan bill. It's like there was early on bipartisan bills that were introduced and that in the House actually did have some support. And of course, goes to the cemetery of the Senate where you have the 60 vote requirement, which means, and that's where, things go to die. So we never had any, that process, however, was helpful in that, for example, there's the Promise Act, which includes a path to citizenship for people with temporary protected status from many countries who have been here for many, many years now, leading, again, making very important contributions. You have the Dreamers, which would have been for those that are currently under DACA or those that have been excluded. That moved through. You had a bill that was also introduced for Essential Workers Act for the 5 million, and 3 in 4 immigrant workers are essential workers during this pandemic and have been at higher risk of sickness and death because of their status. And so it would be a path to citizenship for them and their families. And so, included within that Farm Workers Act, I should say, was another one. So there was this 4 categories that were first being included. The parliamentarian came out and said, no. But, those bills, so I guess the process of introducing bills has been that it, within at least the Democratic Party, it allowed enough votes and understanding to happen so that in any kind of reform, at least there's a greater depth of knowledge. However, sure, it's not really the process that things have gotten hung up on. And I think we're really at a historic crossroads as a country here, because one is in this Democratic-led Build Back Better bill. This is how, choosing to use the power they have. This is not something that's out of there. There's legal precedent for it. It's within their right. But choosing to use the power they have, for example, to ignore the parliamentarian, keep immigration.
Well, Christine, before we go,
can be done.
Christine, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we're running short on time. I've got a question. The Biden policy, stay in Mexico, which will soon resemble the Trump policy, stay in Mexico. And I know I might be misphrasing that, but I catchphrase or paraphrase what they're calling this policy, but a judge has said, you got to do it. Christine, want to get your reaction to the new Biden policy?
Well, it is extremely disconcerting, which is why we're doing these actions. The one in Milwaukee on Thursday is in the Milwaukee District Office, 633 West Wisconsin Avenue at 4:00. And here in Milwaukee, and there will be vigils in Madison and in Green Bay in the days that follow. It's not just the absence of citizenship. It's that this administration, that is a court, ruling there. But there's also, for example, the Title 42, which is, was again, these policies were created by Stephen Miller under the Trump administration. And these are very, cruel policies in, against refugee and asylum seekers that are really undermining our laws, you know, international human rights laws, to receive people in this country who are turning themselves in because, you know, they are fleeing violent circumstances. And in that case, it's extremely well documented. Like you said, that's kind of the catchphrase. It's been the way it was called, Remain in Mexico, because there are people like from Haiti and from other countries that are not from Mexico, but who are basically in cooperation with like the Mexican government, who's like accepted it, you know, to kind of trap people in their very harsh circumstances. And it's very well documented that the conditions that they've created have even escalated even further the human rights crisis, because it exposes people who are already fleeing very dangerous circumstances with very little. It even puts them at a greater threat of like of the cartels. So for kidnapping, you know, for children, you know, being taken away. So people being killed. So it's a human rights crisis, and that is part of the pressure that where we kind of see history repeating itself unless we do something about it. And that's where the pressure is in terms of the immigrant rights movement has been like, you know, we saw this happen before when promises were made, and then we actually, instead of following through on that promise, we actually saw, you know, an escalation of deportations, and we saw, you know, policies that undermined, you know, the rights of asylum and refugee seekers to the U.S.
Christine,
and yet we are again.
We're completely out of time. Here we are again. Thank you so much, Christine Newman-Ortiz, Voces de la Frontera. The action in Milwaukee at Tammy Baldwin's district office, 4 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you. Bye-bye.